UE. DJC, KO4 in UE.
KO4 DJC.
So, remember that conversation we had on the way over here about computers and Dad's generation? So just sit back for a minute, because you're gonna enjoy this one. So, Dad's Traeger grill quit. He ordered a new switch for it from Traeger. $150. He puts it in, wires it up wrong, and it smoked it. So he gets mad. He goes to the store today and buys a brand new Traeger grill. So he cannot get it to work. So I took all of the box and everything with all the instructions in it that he threw away. And it is a Bluetooth. It's called a Traeger Wi-Fi. Not Wi-Fi, but Wi-Fi. Bluetooth all over. It connects to the internet at the house, and you control it from your phone through the internet. Oh my goodness, Jerry.
I can't say I have not heard of that. Oh gosh, it'd be giving away for me to burn something up.
His wife is a doctor. And I'm just not going to say anything else about that. So, the app on the phone is asking for the Wi-Fi password. And these two are in the house looking on the modem trying to get the Wi-Fi password. And... oh, dear. So, that's, I finally have to go in there and look. And Linda, my stepmother, is holding the modem in her hand. There's no wires hooked to it. There's no internet hooked to it. Nothing. It's just the modem in her hand. And she says, here's the password. It's written right here. And I look on the desk, and there's the modem from Spectrum that they replaced for AT&T that has, that's active. So, oh, dear Jerry.
Does that sound good?
Here's the rest. The neighbor comes up, and of course, the neighbor always knows what to do. So I just sat down for, I just finally said, hey, when he leaves, we'll get the thing figured out. So in amongst conversations about technology and, hedgehog is getting, he calls them hedgehogs, but I don't know what they are. They see them on the side of the road all the time. Look like big rats. He's got one of them under the house, so they get in a conversation about that. And, 35 minutes later, he finally leaves with, I know how to do it, with no help or advice. So at any rate, we finally got the right modem with the right password and finally figured out that Wi-Fi is different than Wi-Fi. And I told him, let my radio drop, with smoking pork. We do Boston butts and ribs, and we just got a little friend in the game going on who can cook it better. So I told him before I left, I said, okay, big boy, now all I need to do is log into your Wi-Fi password. I'll just ruin your ribs from the house. Won't even have to leave the house to do it. Ooh, he got the poochie lip.
I see Bluetooth and Wi-Fi controls just about everything, but it just, why in the world they do that stuff, I don't know.
It is what it is. I'm not sure. I'm not exactly sure why he bought that particular model. I don't know. I don't know, but I mean, it, Jerry, when he fire up, you have to initialize the thing first, and it just would not initialize until it got on the Wi-Fi network, and then it'll release the controls. Then it has to update at about 8 bits per minute. So, you know, who knows? Who knows? And it's connected to the phone. Who knows what it's sending to Traeger for them to sell? I didn't even get involved in all that with him. I just said, okay, you know, have fun. And, you know, he did ask me if he could put a password on it before I left the house. I told him no.
So I had to make a return trip or two before this whole deal's over with. I know how that goes.
It's funny, I've been messing with Arduinos for the past 3 or 4 days, and I know nothing about IP addresses or anything like that, but I got a feeling, you know, I wish you could have seen his face, Jerry. He gets this expression on his face, and then he puts his hands down by his side when he thinks he's made a mistake, and you could just tell he wanted to say, I'm taking this thing back so bad, but he tore the box all to pieces. Oh, bless his heart.
See what, though, you know, those things, they just making stuff too complicated. I saw an ad on TV that they have some refrigerators, if you have to tap the glass in the refrigerator, so you can see what's inside. So it's got a clear glass thing. Can't remember, as far as it's LG or Samsung. I said, that's all I need now, is to be able to tap the glass and see what's inside instead of opening the door. As soon as that thing runs out of warranty, it's going to go bad. It's going to cost you $800 to fix it.
Well, I think some of them got cameras in them. So when you're at the grocery store, you can turn the camera on and see what you need to get for groceries. But I just thought that was absolutely hilarious. We're having computers discussions about generation gaps and computers, and oh, he was so proud. Oh my goodness, Jerry, I don't know what I'm gonna do with him. I don't.
I just found out I left my, it was hollering at me a second ago, just found out I left the garage door open downstairs just about a little bit after lunch today, I guess. So, and then what kind of critters been in and out of there. So it's not even a computer generation gap. It's just I forgot.
Right, so I didn't get 5 minutes up the road, and I got a text from him. What are you going to do about this hedgehog down here? And I just, hey, I can do it all, Jerry. Wi-Fi and kind of bear traps. How about that?
There's kind of bear traps for the groundhogs, I guess, or whatever. I guess that's what it is. Luckily, it hadn't shown up back up here, back in the house lately, since they built this new house down here. But, man, I tell you one thing, they got up on the neighbor's shed over here, and I didn't think we were ever going to get them out. I finally killed two of them, but, man, I'm just hoping they're not going to come back. They won't cover it. It's sitting up off the ground, Chad, and they won't cover it up so the thing won't get back up under it again, because they got dogs out there, and one guys I know told me, says, the thing to do is put a 220 down there in the hole, and it's I've tried catching them out of heart traps, seen people do that, just never have been very successful doing it.
Well, he's got a live trap set and a spring trap, and he's put it right in the path of the thing. And them little things are pretty smart. You gotta be kind of tricky with them things. And it's just you see the path where it's just going all the way around the traps. And I told him, I said, well, Dad, did you put any food in it or anything? Well, no, I just, you don't need no food. And I said, what? That's not working. You're going to have to do something different, And then, I get this, well, you have to figure it out. so I guess I'm on the Google machine for the rest of the night trying to figure out how to catch hedgehogs, I guess. But it's something around here all the time, Jerry.
One guy I know, he lives somewhere up northeast, you know, Pennsylvania, somewhere up in there. He was telling me that a lot of people use cantaloupe to bait it with. And he said sometimes they'll go in and say the best thing to do is just leave it, don't set it. Put the food in it, cover it up with some burlap or some kind of, you know, net material or something so they can't set the traps. And once one gets in it, if you ever do catch one, he said kill it in the trap. And it leaves some musk and everything else. And he says, don't clean the trap. I just drag the groundhog out of the trap. And he says, the other ones will come in there then. But, I've always just shot them. But, you know, it's just not, it's impossible to do that here in the neighborhood these days. One of my son's buddies has offered a load of his, he's got a suppressed 10/22. Talking about maybe using that as well. I said, the chance of get up high enough, if it ricochets and just too much, I said, I don't want to cause a problem with it. We've used air guns before, you know. I was saying, they weigh 35 pounds sometimes. You better hit them in the brain pan, otherwise they're going to scurry off.
Well, I got a .22 caliber air rifle I carry on the trap line up there at the camp. And it does a pretty good job. It dispatches them pretty quick, but you know, it is a .22 caliber. That extra weight, you know, makes a difference. But it's on up, you know, 1,200-1,300 feet per second too. But it does a pretty good job. But you know, I understand being in the neighborhood and all. You gotta be really careful, and you be careful what people see too. That's an issue too.
I'm getting out of this upstairs bedroom up here, and you know, put something over the barrel. I don't have to get out very far and get him. I could get him down. I just that low end when you get those low elevations, even a pellet at 22, unless you know, they're accurate. And 22 will definitely kill him. All I got is 177. It just won't be a, I can kill squirrels, rabbits with it, but I can't kill anything else with it. It's just too much for. It's just not enough for something like that. Because their eyes are tough, and you know, you need a 22 like you're talking about to do 1,200 feet per second. Yeah, I got CB longs and stuff like that I could use, but like I said, I just don't want to take a chance on a ricochet and hit somebody's house or something like that. And I could use the suppressor and it'd be real quiet then, but somebody sees something like that or sees you, the next thing you know, you got the. Yeah, even though they've got everything registered properly and all that, you know, the first thing they do is call the ATF. So ain't no need doing that. And he offered to do it. I said, nah. I said, I don't want you to get in trouble with it because a lot of places they don't allow you to hunt with some suppressed 22. Some states do, and others don't.
I understand. You gotta be mindful these days. Back when I grew up. I don't know. I was probably 8-10 years old. I got a .410 shotgun. And come and go, do what you want, you know. Nobody ever said anything. But boy, things have changed. I mean, changed really fast. But anyway, Jerry, let me get on. I'm going to get me a shower, and I got him straight, so I'm just going to figure out how I'm going to mess with him when he's cooking his ribs, try to convince him I'm going to sabotage his ribs. I know that sounds bad, but trust me, he gives it to me, so I got to give it back, right?
Well, now he knows you. If he thinks you can do it, he'll blame you for it anyway. I better get out of here and take you. Good talking to you. KO4NUE and 40JC.
KO4NUE. I'm clear, Jerry. Have a nice evening, sir. 73.
NUE, this is KO4YUN.
YUN, KO4NUE. What's going on, Tanner? How are you today, sir? You got a good signal tonight. What's up?
I'm over at Chris's shop right now.
All right. See you on the 2980. I guess you got my message, right?
I want to let you know that I have not been using the antenna whatsoever. I'm just waiting for the radio to come in before I use it.
A couple of things I wanted to talk with you about was, okay, so tonight I want to make sure you kind of understand. Let me ask this. Do you have a amateur call that's going to help you with this, or are you on your own?
Yes.
Yeah. So I give you the materials to build the antenna. Are you going to try to set the SWR by yourself?
I'm going to just watch a video on it on YouTube, and we'll get it set up.
All right, well, a couple of things I want you to take away from this conversation. Number one, solder both ends of the antenna before you do anything. That's part of the antenna, up at the top of the ladder line and at the bottom of the ladder line, okay? When you hook up the new radio, okay, and you start your SWR adjustment, start off in low power, and take an initial reading, and, don't stay on the mic too long. Calibrate your gauge, take an initial reading, and then let off the mic and figure out what what you need to do. But the reason I'm telling you this is don't stay on high SWR, especially on, a high wattage, expensive radio. Get it, you want to get that SWR right before you come up on power, because you will damage the radio.
And by the way, we have soldered the top and bottom. The only thing that has not been soldered yet is the coax cable.
Okay, all right, well, sounds like you are in good hands, but I wanted to tell you that on the net the other night, but I just said, well, I'll get him on the phone later and make sure he, knows what's going on, but I got you now, so just understand it will damage your radio if you don't have it right for an extended period of time. So I just want to make sure you understood that.
And I want to go ahead and break it to you, the radio I got. And I can already tell you it's not the 2900.
Yeah.
What you going to like?
That's your radio, bud. How you figure I'm not going to like it?
Well, you'll know as soon as I say the name. It's the Yaesu 818.
A fine radio. Where'd you get it?
From DX Engineering.
880.
8818.
I like Yaesu. All of them are good radios, of course, but I don't have any. That's all pretty much all I got. I do have one ICOM in here, and it's a good radio too. But I know you're not gonna go wrong with the Yaesu. So I'm glad you got you something. I'm glad you got what you wanted though.
Just want to let you know, I do know that it is a QRP, just 6 watts. But that's something I do want, and it has all band, I guess, it has the HF, VHF and UHF. So that's just something that I was pretty interested in.
All that matters that you got what you want. So as long as you're happy with it, that's all that matters, right?
Absolutely. So, I got a good bit to learn about antennas. That antenna you gave me, that only does the 2 meter and 70 centimeter, correct?
It's 2 meter only.
2 meter only. Okay.
And that's, you know, intended to be, you know, kind of one of the little portable deals. You know, you kind of roll it up and stick it in your pack. And, you know, you sling it up in a tree with, you know, 10, 15 foot coax. And, you know, you can kind of do that. Or you can stick it on the side of the house, either one you want to do. But, you know, make sure you get that radio right first.
Like I said, I'm just waiting for that one to come in, and then as soon as it does, I will get that tuned, that antenna tuned, and yeah, that's what I'm planning on. And then hopefully here, you know, at some point, you know, during this year, I'll be getting it's this, I don't know how long it is, it might be about 17 foot or so at its max, but whip antenna that does 80 through 10 meters. It's either 80 through 10 or 80 through 6 meters. I'm not quite sure. But yeah, I should be getting that. It'll be a few months from now, but because after buying that Yaesu, that's a pretty big hit, you know. At least for me, that's a lot of money. It was about $649. But yeah, that's what the plan is. And that antenna that I was just talking about is about $120, I think.
That is, you know, it's just kind of an expensive hobby, but you know, once you get what you got, well, once you establish what you want to do, and then when you get there, you know, you can kind of stay there for a little while or as long as you want, but you gotta get there, and getting there can be frustrating and it can be expensive too, so. So just understand that, but you're halfway there.
Chad, and I'll be just keep on practicing with this and just making sure I'm, you know, getting it down and good, and I'll let you know about that antenna, just so you know, that I'm not going to be using that or, you know, anything like that before I get it tuned.
That's so. When you get ready to, you know, do your HF antenna, if you need some help with that, let me know. I'll help you the best I can. You know, I'm not the best in the world at them, but I can get you up talking. Maybe not the most efficient as possible, but at least, you know, get you up and get to talking, especially on 80 meters.
And, yeah, just I'll keep on working at it, and, yeah, we'll see where it goes from here. I'll, KO4NUE, this has been KO4YUN, 732.
KO4NUE, 73, have a good one, Tanner, I'm clear.
W, speaking of antenna check, this is Ben. Can I get a radio check, please?
Station, last calling station, this is KO4NUE. Say again, sir.
KO4ZEW, speak of antenna check. May I get one, please?
Last call, was it Kilo Oscar 4 Victor Zulu Whiskey? Is that correct, sir?
Kilo Oscar 4 Zulu Echo Whiskey.
It's Zed Echo Whiskey. Is that correct, sir?
That is correct. Want to get an antenna check? You're coming in really nicely. But I don't know what my
grandmother sounded
like.
Who, I would say, in one word, poor. I don't mean to be disrespectful, but you got a lot of hum on your signal. It may be some AC hum. I'm not sure what's going on there. And, audio is, very low. And you got quite a bit of white noise in your signal. What's your location?
Location is Simpsonville, South Carolina.
Benjamin, this is Chad up in Campobello, KO4NUE. So what radio are you transmitting on? Well, let me ask this. Does the radio have a mic gain setting?
Testing out some crossband repeat from an AC to a Kenwood M700.
So what's the... So the radio you're crossbanding on is the Kenwood, is that correct?
The AT I'm using is a Yaesu F65, and the Kenwood is what I'm crossbanding on. I'm not sure of my antenna setup, which is why I wanted to call for a chat.
So the handheld is a FT65 Yaesu. And what's the output wattage on that, over?
Set to low to start with, so that output wattage low is 0.5.
I know you're probably close to your crossbander, but go ahead and bring it up 5 watts on your handy, and let's see what that does.
All right, I went ahead and jumped it up to 5 watts, KO4 BPW. How does that sound?
Audible. Quality is still poor with the white noise and the AC hum. I'm not sure if something's going on with the power supply on the Kenwood, but wherever the problem is, I would say it's coming out of the Kenwood. Moving up to 5 watts on the handy made no difference.
What I'm questioning is my ground plane on my antenna. I have a dual band bag mount sitting outside on a flat piece of metal, but that flat piece of metal is not grounded. I'm just using it as a reflector.
QE with KO4 ZEW. So how big is the piece of metal, Benjamin?
Smaller than I would like it to be. It's probably about 24 by 14 inches.
Okay. Well, I tell you, what's the length of coax you have? Do you have enough coax to possibly move it to the top of a vehicle and then, you know, try to transmit from there?
Negative. I'm trying it out on my upper second floor patio deck. I can move it there, but it's probably taking about 30 minutes to disassemble everything.
So, okay. Well, you are audible, you are copyable. You have some significant hum in your signal and a fair amount of white noise. I'm just curious, what is the output on the crossbander?
I'm going in low power on 440, crossbanding 46, 610, and then that sets high, which should be 50 watts.
Let me make sure I got this right. So the FT65 is, what's the frequency on the FT65?
FT65 is 440.875, so it's the UHF. And then, of course, the repeater is what's plugged in on the crossbander.
So on the Kenwood, on the 440, on the receive side of the crossband, what's that power?
That is on low. I'm not sure if that is a 5 watt or a 10 watt on low.
The 146610 is on high power on the 2 meter side, right?
Correct. 146610 is on the high power, so that should be pushing out the full 50 watts.
Okay. Well, you are copyable here at my end. I maybe would get a couple of your wife's cookie sheets, cookie plates or something, and kind of make your ground plane a little bigger, and let's see, you know, see kind of what that does. If that's, if you want to give that a shot, I'll hang around with you.
No hurry. I'm going to mess with it a little bit later on. And too bad I just had an old dryer that I just assembled and threw away. So that was, that, those pieces were, side of that dryer probably was perfect.
Okay, well, I enjoyed the queue so bud, and you be safe down there in Simpsonville. And this is KO4NUE 73, Benjamin. You have a nice evening, sir. I'm clear.
Take your time and your help. I'm going to get a little more of a proper setup on the antenna. So KO4ZDW 73, and I will be clear as well.
RYP, KO4NUE. RYP, KO4NUE. No contact, I'm clear.